Good morning and welcome to the Preventing Grace podcast for February 3rd.
2020. You have been missing for the last week. So you were out doing, leading a ladies' retreat.
Spouses.
Oh, right. Spouses.
There were two men there.
That's right. Yeah. Did you have a good time?
I did. I had a really good time. It was really nice to get away.
Why?
From all of this beauty.
You like to be away from me?
No, I missed you. But I realized there were certain parts of my life that I didn't miss. I did miss the children in some sense, but I didn't miss like anything about their lives or their upkeep. Like the fact that they were trying to finish quarter stuff and didn't that you had to do that instead of me.
You didn't feel bad for me being home?
No, didn't feel bad. Especially since they didn't really do it all too. They worked, but then I still came home to the hellish end of the quarter. And I didn't miss the laundry, and I didn't miss the ill cat.
Yeah, that cat. We have a cat with stomach issues who's very old. And boy.
So old.
Yeah, it's great.
She's so old, and we're now paying for a test.
But if the test comes back negative, it might be time to cross the rainbow bridge.
Well, oh gosh, it's not going to be a nice conversation. But yes, it seems like she's declining precipitously.
And mm-hmm.
Anyway, that has exhausted me. Keeping up with her tummy issues has exhausted me over the last while. So, no, I had, and the people there were really nice. Not that the people here aren't nice. But, you know, no one in my ordinary life here comes to me when I see them in person and says, I just love your writing.
I think most of our Christians would say, do you have a blog?
Yeah, they're like, I'm really behind right, on your blog. Right. Sorry.
Right. they get enough of us, I think. Yeah. We're not a novelty to.
No. So, but it was nice to go. Ooh, I did, what's it called? Like, I somehow managed to sort of unplug from the various kinds of stress that I carry around all the time. And so, I think I did that weekend what I should have done on our vacation.
Which you didn't do. You were stressing out the entire vacation.
The whole vacation. Yeah. Because I had a deadline at the end of the vacation, I ruined our vacation, and I didn't actually do that much work.
I
didn't ruin it for you. I ruined it for myself. I think.
Well, I'm glad you had a good time, but I checked our stats while you were gone. Our stats for the podcast, when you weren't with me, it was just me. And it was like, I think that I shouldn't have said that. I should have waited like midway through to say you're not there.
Oh, and then people wouldn't have noticed.
Because they just tuned out. Midweek last week, we had 700 downloads, and that was half the amount we get usually, or less than half the amount that we get.
Is that our one listener clicking?
Maybe it's the one listener.
Times?
I mean, yeah, there's partial downloads. That could be. So probably the full downloads were probably around 300 or so, which is, again, way low.
Well,
not J-Lo, way low.
Way low. That's a perfect segue.
That is. That was
fantastic. Should we go into one of the subjects of this podcast? So, first of all, there was a big game yesterday. What kind of sporting event was it?
It was a Super Bowl.
Super Bowl.
Yeah, and thanks be to God, the Chiefs won. I know that God was behind that.
Just trying not to spit my tea. So, I mean, I know there are people who do think that. Does God care about who wins the Super Bowl?
Well, okay. Well, I read a very good article recently about this. Of course, there's not. This article wasn't the first time I've heard this, but there's not a random atom in the universe. So yes, God cares
about the Super Bowl.
Who wins the football games, but he doesn't always care like we care, because sometimes he'll make you lose in order to build character. he'll take away what you really want to make you
into a more holy person.
So whereas we would like him to say that our favorite team is his favorite team,
but he so did the Chiefs win because they're more righteous and holy than the
that's what I would like to believe, but I think
or is it because they're called the Chiefs?
How is it that how can they be called the Chiefs in 2020? Yeah, that's like very
and then I saw unwoke. On Twitter that people were making a tomahawk motion and there was much outrage.
Well, they were, I mean, the cheering in the crowd was whoa, da, 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 da. Like the Indian thing in the 1950s Western music, Western movies. Yeah, but they have a wolf mascot.
That's not the original mascot.
I'm guessing it isn't. I would imagine that a chief was probably the original mascot, but now they have a wolf. But it doesn't help.
Everybody is thinking chief, not wolf.
See, I wouldn't care if they named a football team, you know, Wasp. White Anglo-Saxon Protestant. It wouldn't bother me if they all like the mascot was, you know, some guy in a three-piece suit with a monocle or something. I don't know.
Nobody would go to see that game.
That's right. They wouldn't go see
because
it.
What is it? Is that beta male?
I don't know, but I'm not offended. I'm not offended if people want to call me a wasp
offended. I didn't see any of the game, but I walked in to the halftime programming. And I would like to register my outrage. I choose in general not to be outraged or not to be angry. Anger is a choice everybody gets to make for themselves. And overall, I think the outrage machine is really ridiculous. And whenever anybody tells me to be angry, I decide not to be angry. But on my own today, I am choosing to be offended, deeply offended. And I was actually fine when my oldest child was watching this horrifying program with me. We happened in on it because we were doing other more important things. And it looked, she said, very tribal, pagan ritualized tribal, and not in a good way. Dancing. If you want to just do sex for the world, then they brought out a lot of little girls on the stage to dance.
Well, that was right. That followed right up after the pole dancing routine.
Yeah.
So I thought that started out being just crazy, massively inappropriate. Massively. I mean, I was glad that our boys weren't watching.
They were at somebody else's house.
They were at somebody's house, but
Dungeons and Dragons. Not kidding. They skipped the game entirely.
Man, that's nerdy.
Just to play Dungeons and Dragons.
I hope we're not raising nerds.
We are, but it's not our fault. Like, it's our friends. They got
into Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I didn't mean.
The option between one kind of Satan and the other.
Well, you know, think about what this would have sounded like in like 1986.
Yeah.
When, all the Christian evangelicals were up in arms because D&D was Dungeons and Dragons was Satan's.
Because it has
Satan, right? So
it's not Dungeons and Demons.
Dungeons and Dragons.
I know, but like, where did the Satan part come from?
Well, it's like it has magic. You know, that was a thing, and still there. It's anything with magic. It's you're basically telling your child to become a demon or to be possessed by demons.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, 1986, if we were like the typical Christian parents, we would be outraged that our sons were watching or playing D&D and not watching the football game, not watching the halftime show.
In 2020,
but now,
relieved.
Go up and play D&D with your friends.
Please.
Right now.
You don't need to see this. Middle-aged lady.
The shaking of the head. I mean, is that what dancing is now? Because, I mean, it's all sexual
dance.
Moving with the hips. That's all it is. I mean, the twerking thing. Is that what it's called, twerking?
I guess. Why are you asking me?
Well, because you...
I don't know. I don't know any of this stuff. I'm not the resident expert on, like...
Well, I had to watch... I was washing the dishes while... Because
you were listening to a book about Hitler.
It's a great biography by Ian Kershaw. But,
fitting somehow.
Yeah, so I was in there listening to a history book on Audible by Ian Kershaw, which is a really great book, biography of Hitler. And I just peeked in and I saw J-Lo in this like skin flesh colored tight outfit on a pole with men touching her. And so I'm like, what is this?
Well,
and
no,
I walked out.
I'm sorry, but Twitter this morning announces that this was an amazing tribute to her culture and
really?
That of Shakira.
Really? I'm
yeah,
sorry.
Yeah, that this was like the most awesome thing. Yay, Colombia. Yay, Latina. This was like super important.
Yeah, well, you know, I watched it this morning. I watched the whole thing this morning. I'll tell you what, the thing that I came away with was, wow, I really appreciate Colombian culture now. And before I was kind of ignorant about what Colombian culture was. But now that I saw J-Lo twerking and Shakira doing whatever the heck she was doing with her rear end, this now I have a full appreciation for Cuban
women,
culture
for
and
women.
Colombian culture. And women, yeah. I mean, I was thinking, wow, I'd like to have a conversation with them and, you know, delve into what they really think about things like philosophy and religion, because I can tell by the way they're on stage that they're intelligent women who deserve respect.
In fact, respect was the word that leapt
into
my mind.
Respect. Dignity.
Dignity. Honor.
Yeah. I mean, this is feminism, though. This is it. You know,
this isn't like...
No, that's what they were saying. It was feminist.
This is not the...
That's why the little girls came on after the...
Oh, yeah.
After
well,
the twerking
no.
on the pole, because...
Female
look,
empowerment.
We can do anything. We can dance naked on a stage. We are...
No one can tell me.
See how far we've come. It's been a struggle, sisters, but now look where how far we've come in a century. We're able to
Well, that's
strip.
The thing. When you okay, yeah. Two middle-aged, more than middle-aged, they're older than me, these ladies. And I think calling them ladies is sort of nice.
Stretches the word a little bit, but
yeah. These two nice ladies, very rich ladies, deciding to dance in that way with all those men, which I have something to say about. Is one thing, but then when you bring out the next generation of little girls out onto the stage and invite them to participate,
yeah,
that's I think the word you're looking for is grooming,
right? Yep.
For like predatory people, like the men. Okay, so you've got all these women, and then you have these sort of wrapping people. One of them wrapped in tinfoil. Rapping could mean either thing.
Yeah, with a W or an R.
And like, how is that not sort of base prostitution with the pimp who comes out on stage with his microphone?
And yeah, like, I mean, like the men
so
when they were singing, they're like, they weren't like, they were, it wasn't like a duet.
No, there's
it
no
was,
like.
He was checking out the body of the woman who was dancing in front of him, twerking with her and singing. Some cases, the guy was singing to one of them's rear ends.
Well, in a way that's like, is this commodity worth anything?
Yeah, yeah. Check out my new car. Check
yeah.
out the.
And so, I want to know how that isn't the patriarchy. Like, if you want to bring up the word patriarchy to me in a negative sense, the way that people use patriarchy, like it's bad.
Yeah.
There you are. That's not feminism. That's what if you're gonna malign the patriarchy. There's your poster.
Right. If they want men to come out and be vocal feminists, this is the kind of thing they need to do.
Yeah. I mean,
because they will be, you will get lots of new converts to feminism.
I mean, I felt like those guys crossing a major line. I've watched a lot of IFB preacher clips of men wandering across the stage. Postulating about what women should wear, and incidentally, it's not trousers. Women should never wear trousers. They should always wear long skirts. And there's
we should say what IFB is. IFB is Independent Fundamentalist Baptists. It's a denomination, and it's probably they make conservative Baptists
look like
liberals.
Yeah, they do. It's just, probably because they are. Just kidding.
Reformed Baptists are like, they're like John Spahn, Unitarian.
Okay, so, but I thought it was interesting. I like the way that things look. The IFB preachers walk across the stage making fun and of people and being sarcastic about women and young women and
wearing pants
and wearing pants and just obsessing about what it is that everybody's wearing. Yeah, I mean,
almost every clip. It's a running theme in IFB preaching. What are women wearing?
And is it appropriate? Unless they're just like pulling that out of, like, maybe it comes up in every sermon.
Well, I know. I thought maybe they're just being selective, but still, it's a new clip
every day.
I wonder if you like randomly went around the Anglican church in America and, you know, just pulled clips of sermons randomly looking for discussions of women's attire. You wouldn't have that much, but they apparently have. That's a common enough theme.
Yeah, that they have lots of fodder. They don't have to do any other subject. Right. Okay, so but those guys with their at the posture and the microphone reminded me of the middle aged person came out in his tinfoil outfit to Local and apprise the car of Jennifer Lopez.
Right. They're doing the same thing.
It's the same thing. It's grotesque.
Yeah.
And it's disrespectful, actually, in both cases. Although, I'm going to go ahead and say that the Super Bowl thing took the prize. Like,
yeah, I mean, if that's the kind of thing they're objecting to, fine. But that's not what they're objecting to.
But it's just, yeah.
Okay, so we are going through Matthew's Gospel in our men's Bible study on Friday morning, and we came to Matthew chapter 5, dealing with lust. And so we had a long
conversation and pause there for
about what that means. And so we said, all right, well, how do you, I mean, now, especially with women dressing the way they often do, it's tough to keep your eyes on the person instead of on the accidents of the person. You want to focus on the substance, not the accidents.
And then Catholic in your...
Yeah, so what do you do? Well, we should tell you, okay, you have to make an effort, a disciplined effort to look a woman in the eye, especially if she's wearing yoga pants. And
yoga pants are fine. The Federalist said that if you object to yoga pants, then you're evil.
The Federalist said that?
Yeah. Why? You're being a jerk. A woman on the Federalist made a case for why her yoga pants are awesome. Probably in response to the guy on Pythias who wrote a post against the wearing of yoga pants. And the picture he chose.
I saw the picture.
Was of somebody in the work, like, the tightest
yoga pants possible.
Okay. Sorry. Carry on. I had to interrupt you there.
Well, I was saying. What was I saying? Oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah. If you encounter
a woman in skin-tight yoga pants who's attractive, you know, yes, you're going to notice she's attractive, but then you need to ask Jesus to help you look in her eyes and address her as a person because she's a person.
She is a person.
Yeah, and you don't want to just make her a commodity or objectify her, which is, you know, the whole point about lust is that it's a violation of the love your neighbor law. It's not just about sex. It's because you're dealing with another human being who has a soul, and so you don't want to belittle God's image in that person by just thinking of sex.
Even if they're working really hard to make it so you will do that, resist that.
Yeah. So there's no reason to look at a woman after she turns around and walk away, right? Because you can't see in the eyes anymore. So why would you? What are you looking at?
So you can just also turn away.
You can turn away when she turns away. Right, exactly. So it's a hard thing for young men, especially, but and old men. How do you, I mean, we were talking how bad it is. I mean, how do men, I completely understand, although it's a sin, I completely understand the raging porn epidemic because it's everywhere. Thank God when I was growing up, we had magazines and not things on, I mean, if it was this
on the
easy.
Super Bowl.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah. No, that would be considered, like, when I was growing up, that would be considered pornographic, right? You wouldn't see it on TV.
It's not female empowerment.
No.
I'm astonished that somehow the deep confusion about sex being, well, sex is empowerment. Sex is empowerment.
Right.
Which is really interesting because it's not. In objective terms, sex is not empowerment. Sex is a thing that
historically, though, women have been able to use their sexuality as power, as a lever for power and to get respect, right? So by not giving themselves over to men's desires, right?
The best way to use your sexuality in an empowering way
is not to use it.
Is not to use it.
Or not to give yourself over to every
the person that
walks around. Or yeah. show so much of yourself that you become a commodity. But I think, you know, part of the derangement is that feminists they're pushing for an unnatural
I don't know why you're saying feminist, because this isn't feminism. I mean, some people are using that word.
I think it's feminism.
Well, no, because I'm going with the I'm adopting. I've never been feminist, but in this new age, 2020, I'm staking my claim as a feminist against the people, the T in LGBT that's trying to actually destroy and say that there is no biological anything for women, that a man can be a woman. I'm saying no. I'm going to go ahead and there's
right,
the feminist
that's traditionally
element.
Not feminism.
Like, no, I know. I'm reinterpreting feminism in the new age to suit myself, and I'm deciding to be a feminist. I'm self-identifying as a feminist, and so when all the people who say that what happened there with J-Lo was feminism, I'm saying no, it wasn't.
Well, it goes along with modern feminism because modern feminism it's unnatural. It wants men to stop. It has this idea that the male desire for a female is inherently the way a male desires a female is a function of some kind of patriarchal system can be undone, and so women should be women have the ability or the power to wear what they want and use their sexuality how they want, and men just have to suppress their natural predatory
instincts,
aggressive instincts when it comes to female sexuality. And I agree, we need to channel that, but it's there.
And you
want to awaken that up. You're not going to find yourself in a feminist utopia. You're going to find yourself right where we are, where women are dancing on stage.
Well, I
scantily
it's
clad
just,
and calling themselves feminists.
The most apparently the day when there's more sexual slavery going on than any other day in America.
Super Bowl is the thing too.
That's
yeah.
what they chose to do. I know. I was going to say it's like socialism. This kind of feminism.
Yeah.
That you insist that people are other than they are, and that they behave other than they will behave, and you remake everything by your new insane totalitarian definition,
right?
And then are angry when it doesn't work.
Yeah. Yeah. It's... So I'm surprised that on Twitter and on Facebook and other places, people are thinking this is a great thing.
Tons of people.
Christian people?
Well, okay. Here's what Christian Twitter does. I've seen somebody last week said children should never be allowed to see Christian Twitter. If you're going to protect your child from anything, protect them from Christian Twitter.
Keep them away from Christian Twitter.
And I think that's true because a lot of people immediately, this is what Twitter is for when you're watching the Super Bowl and you're shocked and appalled, you get on Twitter and express your shock. And then other people get on and say and scold you for your outrage.
Right.
So there was that whole oh, you're upset about the Super Bowl thing? You're really lame, Christian.
That's the woke, right? The woke.
Well, I don't know.
Moving in to scold the believer for having rational thoughts about sexuality.
Probably. Yeah, so Christian Twitter started out being angry.
Yeah.
And then continued being angry about the fact that they were angry. That's what Christian Twitter did. And I thought, no, I think that Christians is totally fine to get on Twitter yesterday and say, no. In fact, if it's going to be like that, Christians should not watch the Super Bowl.
Or break out the halftime show.
Yeah, but doesn't a lot of the money of the Super Bowl go to pay for the halftime show? Stop watching football. Christians should stop watching football.
Now, I'm not one for calling for boycotts.
Where are you going?
I'm going to get my cream. my coffee. I'm not big for calling for boycotts.
Really? Because
unless, like,
I don't know. What if all Christians stopped watching football? Would football still carry on existing?
I mean, I agree with the idea of all Christians not doing Little League things on Sunday morning.
Yeah, so how is football
unless they can
this?
Make a way to go to church? But
like, how many Christians went to see the Super Bowl in the stadium and then had to watch J-Lo in person?
Yeah, if I paid $400 per ticket
out,
to get
actually.
My kids to the Super Bowl, and that's what they got to see. Yeah, I would. Yeah,
I don't know. I think Christians should boycott the NFL. Why are you looking at me like that?
It's
is that
like
taking
it's
my
like,
candy
I wish,
away from a baby?
No, it's like saying I think we should, you know, boycott meat. It's not going to happen. It's not going to work. No one's going to boycott the NFL, or some people will, but it'll be a very small minority.
Well, people should boycott it because it's evil and wicked. Just like there
football,
was something
football
else.
In itself is not evil and wicked.
Well, all the money associated with it. I can't remember. There was something else I thought we should boycott this week, but it's escaped my mind.
You're like, you should go back to the 80s. You should be like part of the moral majority.
I would have loved the moral majority. I would have been out there. Like,
you would not. You would have hated it. You hated it. You're growing up in the moral majority
in
conservative Baptist boarding school. You hated it. That's what you hated about boarding school was the moral majority. And
okay, but as an adult, lady,
You can't listen to secular music. Oh, that's really helped us because then we got the, you know, wonderful Christian music that we.
Oh my gosh, which is a crime.
Yeah.
So in our, we go to the Christian skate, the cheap Christian homeschool skate.
Yeah.
And they play Christian music because the Christians can't handle like secular Shakira
music.
And J-Lo.
Right.
But somehow they updated it this last week.
Yeah.
It was pretty bad, but it was the 80s and 90s Christian music, which sort of
80s and 90s
terribles. But like Michael W. Smith.
Oh, okay.
They updated it.
Yeah.
And I actually stopped skating because the music was so bad I couldn't bear it and put headphones in and worked on something else. It was terrible. Like the updated Christian music is a crime against music and against everything.
Yeah. That's a whole other subject. The Eros evoking.
Well, no, it music. Wasn't even that. It was flat. It was like it was one chord. Like Christian musicians haven't learned how to play a second chord or sing in another note. It's like two notes. They go back and forth. What were we talking about?
We were talking about strip dancing and whatever. And it's Super Bowl. But we had another topic to talk about too, didn't we? I forgot what it was.
Oh, well, you want to talk about the Anglican thing and I want to talk about Goop. So
why don't you talk about Goop? Or I can talk about the English thing really fast if you want.
Just
update from
can.
The show that so few of you listened to last week. The Archbishop of York.
Everybody cares about what happens in Anglicans. And everybody cares. Everybody's like, Anglicans.
What's
will
going
away.
On in the ACNA, right?
What's happening in the Anglican world? Yeah.
Well, this is not the ACNA. This is the Church of England. And remember, they put that statement out about sexuality that was not orthodox, but it was at least it said the right words. It said sex outside of marriage for
a man and a woman, even
for anybody, is not. They didn't use the word sin. They said it's less than the best that God would have for you.
That's really funny. What would be the best?
So it's like, you know, I wrote a paper on that. I wrote an article, and it's for Stand Firm. Saying, you know, it's like, okay, so what is this, like a C instead of an A and a test? It's okay, but it's not quite the best.
You could have done better.
Yeah, and that's what it seems to be. What that is, because the same statement says that clergy are free to argue against the stance on sexuality, which means essentially that this is an essential doctrine. This is something that is not even an adiaphora, because if it were adiaphora, you couldn't then say, well, you can't have sex outside of marriage, which is what they say. You can't have sex, but you can argue for sex outside of marriage. It's a weird category of this is really not the best thing. You can argue for it, but you just can't do it. So this is our state. It was very confusing and incoherent. So they came out, as to be expected, everybody was hurt. There was just so much pain, so much wounding.
Yeah.
People were wounded by this statement. Because
that's what I need to do. I'm not outraged by J-Lo and Super. I'm hurt.
Yes, you need to be hurt by that. That would be more effective.
Young girls taken out. I'm wounded.
Right.
Okay, go on.
So yeah, that's the new. Once someone's wounded, that's powerful, right?
Yeah, then you can't do.
You've wounded somebody, and you're done. So everyone was wounded, and so the Archbishop of York and the Archbishop of Canterbury come out and issue a joint statement saying that they're sorry.
They're sorry
for saying this and the way we said it and how we said it, and it was so insensitive hurtful. And hurtful, and it was just the most beta male thing I've ever.
Okay, ever so the beta male life. Thing isn't a thing though.
I know. Okay, but it's a thing. If there was a wolf pack, these would be the wolves who were bedraggled and beaten by the other wolves. But this was hardly. It was again. I use the term a lot talking about Archbishop Welby, but sub Christian. You don't apologize for stating basic Christian doctrine, like don't have sex outside of marriage. Why would you apologize for that? Because it makes people upset. Well, yeah, that's.
I mean, there's a lot to be upset about in Christianity, and that's one of the things that you can be upset about.
Right.
It's like.
Well, that's one thing you can make people upset about. There's lots of things you can say that cut against our culture.
Yeah.
And saying and upholding Orthodox sexual standards is one of those things. And if you do, people are going to be upset. And if you're not prepared to deal with that, you shouldn't have a collar.
Hmm. That's true. You shouldn't be the head of him. Well, I was like a major church, but it's not as major as it was. Yeah. It's not as big as it was.
Yeah. So anyway, that's all I wanted to say. So you can go ahead and cut to my group.
Okay, well, that's very important, but more important and more well-known probably is that Gwyneth Paltrow of Goop. You know, Gwyneth Paltrow is a movie star, and she is now devoting her life to her lifestyle brand, which is called Goop. Lowercase.
That sounds like slime.
Yeah, or... no, I mean, it's kind of, I know, it's supposed to be a little bit funny.
Okay.
Like, they're not... except it's not funny. It's multi-million dollars. There's nothing funny about it. And she has been shown by noted professional medical people to be hawking things on her website that are not good for your health. She's part of the whole self-care, but now wellness, because self-care is morphed into wellness.
Yeah.
And wellness is bigger than just your physical health. It's, you know, your spiritual, your...
It's everything.
It's everything.
It's holistic.
So I was reading, you can go, there's now, they're building like wellness houses. Like you can go buy in a subdivision a massive McDonald's house. What's that called? Like a...
McMansion.
That's been carefully crafted for wellness.
What does that mean?
So it has, it'll be, sorry, the cat's here.
The Christmas miracle cat is.
The miracle cat is here for her little bit of milk. And if we don't give it to her, she'll start to scream and
knock over things.
Knock things off the desk. She's very pushy. Okay, so you could have.
Karen. We should name her Karen.
I'm going to name her Karen.
She's a Karen.
I was thinking of Susan.
I think Karen's a better name.
She doesn't look like Karen.
She acts like a Karen.
No. Like the meme Karen.
Yeah.
No. She doesn't. Okay, so I'm distracted now. The, you could buy a house that's crafted for wellness. Like, the walls will vibrate with certain frequency. Or they'll have, like, a yoga room. And there'll be, like, Tampa grass. Embedded in the floor. I don't know. This is just crazy, but expensive stuff for your wellness so that your whole house is just like focused on you. So Goop is the brand, the lifestyle wellness brand of Gwyneth Paltrow. And they've sold things like this jade egg that they encourage women to put up themselves to have something about their sexual health.
That's really gross.
And lately, Gwyneth Paltrow is selling there on the website a what she calls a vagina candle.
What?
Yeah. Which is not that you just like
it. We should
it.
Put a rating on this, yeah. this particular podcast.
It's really appalling. So, but now she has a Netflix show. So I watched the first
episode.
I
was going to ask you what that was, but I'm not going to ask you what that is.
The Netflix show?
No, the candle. I'm not.
It's a candle. Then you just burn it. It does. You don't do anything weird with it.
Okay.
But Gwyneth Paltrow feels like it's a good.
Is it shaped like a?
No, it reflects like it's a regular candle, but the smell. It's a scented candle.
Oh.
That smells like her.
Ah. Ooh.
I'm not kidding you. Get
no.
on Twitter.
No, I don't.
And people are like, "Oh, this really? Is awesome. This is so great."
Oh. What?
Yeah. No, and it's expensive. It's an expensive what? Candle. It was what? Carefully crafted by the scent people at Goop to be the same as her. There's no way for me to talk about it without, like,
I'm just dumbfounded. Really?
Yeah, and people are buying it.
Are we going to? That's what. Why?
We're not.
Why would you want the.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Why?
I don't know. Of all the things I could think that I would want to put in my house, that's just the last.
Well, in your wellness house. You can get the wellness.
Do they have? Have they scented her underarm yet? Or
no, I don't know. No.
How about her feet after a long day? Do you get a candle?
I don't know.
For her feet.
Well, those things aren't special. Those things aren't like very special because everything having to do with sex is very, very special, and all has to do with wellness because sex and wellness are very, very closely intertwined. So anyway, the first episode of the Goop Netflix show was about psychedelic mushrooms as therapy. So you go to therapy, you've had some kind of trauma, like say your father dies,
mm-hmm.
or you're partially blown up in Iraq, and you've suffered a major trauma, you have PTSD, you've gone to therapy, you've gone to regular therapy, and it didn't work. You're still sad, depressed even. Or you're also a person of color. Because you're sad about your trauma. Okay. It's just nothing's worked. No therapy's worked.
So the only option left to you is...
You go to Jamaica. And there's this sort of therapy. They give you... I'm losing my voice. They give you tea with mushrooms, some kind of psychedelic thing in it. Carefully dosed. And then you go into this state where your trauma comes up. And the team there will help you through that experience. And it's supposed to be a catharsis. So, like, you'll start crying because your dad didn't love you. And they'll, like, be there and hold you and talk you through the thing.
I mean, I can see the being there and talking you through the thing. Maybe not really the holding, but why do the mushrooms have to be there?
Well, the mushrooms bring up stuff that caused you pain and let you experience it again. It's actually pretty interesting. Let you experience it sort of maybe you do it on purpose, but it forces you to feel the emotion that you have had and release that emotion so that then you don't have to have it anymore, as far as I understand. You're looking at me like... I mean, I didn't quite understand the science.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. Where is this like a? Is this a scientific?
There's a
scientifically proven therapy methodology.
It's proven, but there are people who are working on this science-iness right now. There are people who are studying this, and they want federal funding, of course, and they want.
Well, I think we should rush all the money to them as fast as possible.
They also want it not to be illegal to take these drugs because they can't study them very easily because they're illegal.
Well, I think I, for one, approve of the taking of psychedelic mushrooms for
therapeutic purposes.
What on earth? I guess it's like marijuana, though. I mean, I guess if you can find if it were actually science-y. That it could be helpful therapeutically, but it, you know, it just seems to be
like what are the limits of therapy?
Yeah,
because therapy is really wellness is about sex, so there's no distinction really between the wellness industry and the sex industry, as far as I can tell. Because you, like, one of the most well self-caring things you can do now is to have an abortion. Like, the language of abortion is all about the language of wellness.
Yeah, yeah.
So, women's health. I would have said
that. So that if you're anti-abortion, you're anti-women's health. You don't.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And wholeness.
Yeah.
And all the things.
Right.
Which is really interesting because I think that I've read, I know that abortion is a traumatic experience, both for mother and baby, when baby doesn't make it out alive. So it's interesting that wellness, self-care is taken into that.
I suppose you can go
back
to Puerto Rico or Cuba and have your psychedelic experience to get over your killing your baby.
Yeah. I'm sure you can. You can go to Jamaica, Puerto Rico and pay a lot of money for people to help you through your trauma, which is real. So I thought that the program was interesting because I actually felt it was people with real grief.
It's very sad, yeah.
Real grief, really weeping intensely over terrible things that had happened to them. And these sort of middle-aged hippie people helping them, which it's like, it felt like the blind leading the blind. These people who are actually probably not qualified to know anything about anything, helping lost, grieving, upper crust, rich, white Americans through their real problems. And I felt it was tragic. It's actually tragic. It wasn't funny. I thought it would be funny and I would be able to laugh at it like the candle, but I didn't feel like laughing. So I'm going to watch the second episode and I'm going to probably end up writing about it. But okay, it's interesting that God, one of them wanted to be more open to the cosmos and to spirituality. That was one of the things that people said. No one was interested in there being, like, truth. No one said the word God, you know. The idea that there might be some, everybody knows it's there's something out there. Mm-hmm. There's something out there. I wonder what it is. There might be God, you know, is not a thing.
Yeah. I mean, the modernist mindset is, or was, you know, there's no proof for any. The idea in the 50s was the modern person is doing away with all mythology and all ideas about, you know, supernatural things being real, because we're now in a scientific age and we don't have to have those mythological explanations for.
Right.
For phenomena. But postmodernity just comes in and says, nope.
Nope.
We don't know. I mean, and at first I think Christians were thinking, well, this would be an opportunity to, you know, now that the scientism is swept away, we now have this openness. People are open to the idea of God becoming incarnate and
no, they're not,
and miracles.
Though.
But that's not, it's still not. It's because the problem with Christianity is it nails down a truth that you can't float away from. You can't deconstruct.
Yeah.
And so it's not really an opening at all. It's just another way of rejecting.
So the interesting thing, because Gwyneth Paltrow did not go do mushrooms in this episode, but she sent her team of Goop people to do it. And then they came back and talked to them about it. And I don't think she's not trying to be malign. Like she's not just, I'm sure she's trying to make a lot of money with Goop, but actually she could make more money making one movie a year than she makes with Goop, because it's not that big. She really wants to do good. Like, she really cares about her people, and she really cares about the health and wellness of women, which I think makes it worse, because she's so lost herself. Right. Like, she is not a person who knows anything.
Right.
But she's the sort of guru behind the whole. Imagine Gwyneth Paltrow, spiritual leader of our time.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's what
it
is. It's spirituality. It's not. She's
a spiritual person.
Yeah.
She's spiritual, not religious.
Right. So, and this is all morally good. You know, this is all good. Everything about this is good. Weird and bad, but
I mean, you know. it does have some similarity to the environment in which the church first began to spread in ancient or in first century Greco-Roman culture, where, you know, there wasn't really a truth about God, the gods. There were different cults, different ways to invest your spiritual energy, find whatever god or goddess is right for you,
right?
Who will meet your needs at the time, and then that's fine, and there's no competition between them. They're all
there's no moral sense that one needed to be worshipped. You know, they're all there for you,
right? And they're all kind of capricious themselves, so you're you gotta be careful how you play the game. But then Christianity comes in and says, no, there's one God. All the spirituality associated with the gods and goddesses is false. It's demonic, and yeah, that's offensive. In that, especially when part of that is bound up in the worship of the emperor or the. So that's why Christianity in our culture is not going to be
exciting
because. You have this cornucopia of spiritual paths that Christians come in and say, nope, they're all, which is right.
So one thing I think, like, okay, if I look at the trajectory of evangelicalism in America, we have to know that because evangelicals like to adopt whatever language is out there and try to co-opt it and make it Christian. So race issues are now being talked about, not in a Christian, like in a biblical way, but trying to sort of take something and then do a thin veneer of biblical categories over it. So I don't think that Christians should adopt the language of wellness.
Right.
Like if you're encountering wellness stuff and you're thinking we should, of course, it's a perfect
talk about Christianity as a holistic solution to your.
Right.
To your wellness problems. No, it's,
don't even try to tangle with this.
Yeah.
I mean, it's important.
Well, it's like critical theory. You
it.
Can't use that language. I mean, you can't use whiteness as a concept. Once you've done that, you've thrown over the Christian.
Right. You can't really go back and say that. So, I mean, I think it's important that Christians know what it is, know how to see it, and then say, interact with the language, I would say, and say, okay, well, I see you have this category of well that includes your body, mind, and spirit, and your sexual health. Okay, so I see that you have that, and
let's talk about how the scriptures might inform that.
What your
need or the desire.
Your Jesus does care about your wellness, maybe, but not in the way that you're thinking of it. Let's go back and see this other category of truth or death.
Because part of the wellness movement is actually encouraging things that scripture says destroys you. So it's not wellness at all, right? So the focus on your sexual parts. As the center of your being,
that's not wellness.
Yeah, that's destructive, and so wellness kind of goes along with whatever makes you feel good as well,
whereas there's actually a category of true wellness, which includes not going to hell forever. One thing I was interested in listening to somebody's podcast, the problem with in the race issues is that the word reconciliation, which is a Christian word,
it's been co-opted.
Has come to be meaning. And so Christians should keep saying, no, that's not what we mean.
To be reconciled, you have to give up Christian categories of repentance and forgiveness and all of that and adopt
other categories.
You have to disinvest from whiteness.
That's not reconciliation. That's not actually reconciliation.
Right.
I appreciate your use of a word that we both love, but I have a different meaning for that word.
Yeah, it's not the word that.
It's not what you think it is.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's what I'm going to do this week is watch more Goop. I love this kind of research. I don't have to read any books or like anything like that. It's time for us to go because the cat has come and wants to sit on the computer more than anything in the world. So thank you so much for listening, and we'll be back next week.